Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I am coming to you live from 30 Acres Restaurant in Jersey City, Jersey. I'm joined today by Chef Kevin Pumelier, owner and chef here at 30 Acres, and today we're going to get into the history of pork roll. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
What the hell is pork roll?
Pork roll is literally rolled pork. I think it was originally a kind of like a canned ham product for, soldiers. That's what it seems like it would have been anyway. But just like a processed prepared ham that's like ready to eat, sort of like, you know, army rations are. I think that was what it probably was originally developed for. That makes the most sense. But it is currently a staple breakfast meat in all of New Jersey and Philadelphia. And depending on where you're from, you're referred to it either as pork roll or Taylor ham. But all pork roll is pretty much made by the Taylor Ham Company, as far as I'm concerned. If there's another one out there, I don't really have no interest.
Well, so you're a native New Jerseyan?
Yes.
New Jerseyan? And, tell me about the first time that you ate pork roll. What was it like?
Well, it wasn't a thing like that, because it's like asking someone the first time they ate, like, eggs. Like, I don't know. I went to public school my whole life, so I only associated with people from New Jersey more or less until college. So I didn't realize really that pork roll and Taylor ham was not just a thing that was available for breakfast all the time. I had no idea it didn't exist outside of New Jersey.
It's very weird to me that you can go throughout all of New York City's boroughs and it's very difficult to find. I mean, maybe if you go to like certain parts of Brooklyn, you might have somebody there.
Some guys did a thing, like there's a place in Williamsburg and they did kind of like Jersey food stuff. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean,
to you guys,
it's totally
whoever
weird.
You are. But I remember seeing it as a thing at a restaurant on Metropolitan Avenue. Anyway, I don't know, whatever. They had it, I think, but it's definitely not common.
So yeah, the other term is Taylor ham. And apparently the story begins in 1856 with a man named John Taylor. He was a Republican senator in New Jersey who apparently bogarted the grocery store system. He kind of worked his way up in grocery stores and then became involved in cattle and cattle industry. And, you know, he produced the first version, supposedly. He had a patent, but people say that it was first served at the Battle of Trenton, which, who knows if that's true. So it comes in a sack and comes in a tubular form, most similar.
It definitely comes in a sack.
It looks like Spam, maybe. It's circular. What does it taste like? What are we working
with? It is texturally like Spam, because it's the same thing, conceptually. It tastes like Canadian bacony, which is like, what, pork loin or whatever. I don't know. But it's more, it doesn't have, Spam has a very specific taste to it. And it's whatever the Spam spices are. Spam spice. Flavor. Taylor ham it has more of a neutral pork flavor. Maybe a little like black peppery. It's got, I don't know. It's got, it's, it really stands alone in the breakfast meat, you know, realm. Like, it's got its own flavor. It tastes like Taylor ham. I can't go further than that.
What are you eating it with? Is it like an egg sandwich?
Eggs.
Is it?
I don't know anyone who eats it without eggs. It's weird.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I mean, a Taylor ham. Like we were saying, the place, there's a place across the street here that serves 10 slices of Taylor ham on a bagel. And it's like a thing that that's like, that's what it's called, like the 10 slices of Taylor ham on a bagel sandwich. And you know, whatever, it's good. It's good on its own. I think it almost always has to have melted American cheese on it also. Whether there's eggs or no eggs, melted American cheese is essential.
Good idea.
And usually on hard rolls here. In Philly, I know they're different because they're all like hoagied up down there. And they, which I mean, whatever, like it's, everything in Philly I think is awesome. So I have no problem eating pork roll out of my comfort zone. But I think generally up here you get like breakfast sandwiches on a hard roll, like, you know, poppy seed and Taylor ham, eggs and melted American cheese. That's standard, I think.
But you're not like slicing it and then eating it straight up. Are you like searing it?
You mean like an apple? No. I think the places that are doing like breakfast meats probably, yeah, you know, you could get it in, you know, in its casing, and they'll slice it like any other kind of deli meat. But no one's like really eating it like. You wouldn't like put it on like a charcuterie plate. I mean, I might you put might. It on a charcuterie plate, but people don't generally.
A great fact is that in 1906, the Pure Food and Drug Act was passed, which meant that Taylor, who originally called his product Taylor's Prepared Ham, was forced to change the name because it was not legally considered ham.
Yeah, I like that. Illegal ham consideration. It's probably because it just wasn't, you know, the hindquarters of a pig.
Yeah.
Clearly it has to do with, like, you know, there's other parts.
Like eyeballs and
whatever like there is, I mean, it's not just a ham. I'm certain of that.
So, you know, I've heard that when you cut it and you sear it, you have to cut it in, like, sort of three triangular cuts. Yeah. Because if you don't, it like curls in the middle or something.
Yeah, it looks, don't it does? It looks like a giant pork contact lens. Exactly, if you don't cut it. Yeah, it starts to, it shrinks up in the center, like rises up above the griddle or whatever. That's just like, yeah, just to keep, it's, they do that too because I've never seen pork roll sliced any other size. I don't know what it is, maybe like a 16th of an inch or something, but I literally, whatever size that they serve their like pre-sliced packaging, that's like the standard slice on it. And I don't, like, you can buy the whole roll, but no one slices it any differently that I've ever seen. So well, that you have to do that thing to like keep it from shrinking up and contact lensing on you.
Well, apparently it's called the Fireman's Badge or the Pac-Man pepperoni.
Yeah, I don't know. That seems some like.
Sorry,
some
Pac-Man bacon. Weird. That's what happens when you go on Wikipedia and.
Yeah, I've never heard of that in my life, but I could see like a kid in 1981 saying that. Looks like Pac-Man.
So. What, you know, considering that this is theoretically like an iconic jersey, I consider it iconic because this is the first time in New Jersey that I came across something that is not outside of Jersey.
Yeah, it's iconic. And like I said, I didn't realize it at all until leaving.
But why does it go as far as Philly? Why do you think it went?
Trenton's right. I mean, very close.
Yeah.
Not right there, but it's close enough.
Interesting.
And I feel like I would think in like the late 19th century there was a lot of crossover in like southwestern New Jersey and eastern, southeastern Pennsylvania in terms of probably you know, farming, ranching and that whole world. I feel like there might have been a lot of processing being done in both sides, crossing both borders.
Yeah. Well, so if you were going to cook this at 30 acres, what would you do?
Well, we were serving pork roll for a while that we're getting from the meat hook, but it just became too annoying to have to take a train out to Brooklyn to pick up multiple pounds of pork roll.
In like homemade pork roll?
Yeah, they were making their own version of pork roll. And we were serving it for brunch in a sandwich. It was good. But, I mean, we don't really have the capacity to make it right now here. And I would be a little hesitant to serve Taylor brand pork roll here just because it's, you know, we like to try to make all of our own, you know, cured meat products if we can. But I would serve it for brunch. Or I would serve it with oysters, I think. Ooh. I think it would be really good with oysters for some reason.
So if you were at home...
But again, it would probably be a sandwich. I think fried oysters and Taylor ham would be really good together.
On a sandwich.
Yeah.
So, for
I could be wrong. Sounds delicious.
For listeners out there who go on the internet in Singapore right now and order a Taylor ham internationally, what do they do when they get that
sack? Oh, you mean a delivery ham?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They slice it. And you could probably even see, if you Googled sliced Taylor ham, you could see the thickness of the slice you need. But you could slice it with a knife. I kind of think that's probably how this slice started, because it's so thick that it's like, you could do it with a house, you know, chef's knife or whatever. But that's what you do. And then you put it in a pan, maybe a tiny bit of oil, but it'll release some fat like bacon will. And then it's totally prepared already. So all you gotta do is heat it up and then put it on an egg sandwich.
This is after you've had two bottles of vodka the night before, I think.
Yeah, two bottles of vodka. And then, sliced Taylor ham, egg.
We are going to take a very quick break, but when we get back, lots more from Chef Kevin Pamoulier of 30 Acres. You're listening to You Look Hungry. Stay tuned.
This one's called Forever by Jerome LOL on heritageradionetwork.org.
Jenkins from Fairway Markets. I've devoted my idiot career to the old ways, the old recipes, the old tools, the old geography of where serious foods come from for centuries. And I've strived to make these wonderful things available to New Yorkers for 37 years. So it's a fait accompli for us to support Heritage Radio Network. And I hope you will too, and I hope you'll keep tuning in. For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
And it's an interesting topic. It's a Jersey-centric situation. But more specifically, I'd love to talk about you, because a year ago...
Oh, great.
You were on my radio show. Yeah. You were...
More than a year ago.
Yes.
I don't know if we were even open yet, were we?
No, you definitely weren't open. And...
February?
You know, it's like, tell me what's happened in the year and a half since I last spoke to you.
Since I last spoke to you, we opened, which was crazy. I thought I was going to die. I was going to have a heart attack and be dead. But we opened anyway. We opened Overly Ambitious, had opened 7 days for lunch, dinner, did brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Quickly realized that was stupid for us, and stopped serving lunch. And then eventually started closing on Sundays. By far the best decision we made. Both of those decisions were the best decisions so far. we just really needed to kind of check ourselves and start slow, and knew that we could always add on. But we really wound up building a small group of people here, and like really work together to like help develop the place and mature. Everyone matured kind of together. But it was really like, it was rough, you know. It was rough getting open, rough getting like people in here. We went through a lot of staff early on, like everyone does. And I feel like after 6 months, we kind of hit our stride and things started getting better and systems are in place and, you know.
So how would you describe the menu here?
We have a small menu, and it's still small, I think, by a lot of standards, but it's bigger than it was when we first opened. But we like to change it a lot. We don't get tied down to dishes a lot. We never wanted to have any kind of signature anything, just not for any like fuck you reasons, but for like, we just didn't want to, you know. We wanted to be able to have people with a small menu. We wanted people to be able to come and enjoy, know that they're going to have an enjoyable meal without coming back for their favorite item. And we wanted to build like that trust with the customers and with our, you know, new neighbors in Jersey City, and it's worked out really well. So we change it often enough that people keep their interest and they keep coming back. But it's, you know, it's whatever. It's seasonal, schmeasonal. You know, like we buy things when they're available at the market. We buy stuff from, you know, it's also local schmokel. We listen to Nielsen Schmilson. Everything's all those fun buzzwords. Just I don't know. I said that to you, I think, back last year, but it just makes sense. I don't know why it's not a thing we do, or we just broadcast it. But it's not a thing. That's not what we just like the menu to be as fun and fresh as we can. So we change it often. We have a lot. I think we have a lot of, you know, we like a lot of raw fish dishes, and those come up a lot. A lot of, you know, homemade pastas that we like making, and, you know, like we're not trying to reinvent the wheel or change the wheel or just be a wheel. And it's working. It's fun. It's like I realize it's been cool to be able to train, you know, cooks who haven't really gotten the city exposure, like guys who have like really just grown up cooking in New Jersey or, you know, smaller areas, and not, you know, it's been really fun, like building a group of, you know, in the kitchen and the front of the house where they're not, you know, their ambitions were a lot different than a lot of the places that I worked with, but it's been, I think, satisfying for me and my wife Alex to be able to like provide this kind of place outside of city limits.
What is a dish right now that you are so excited about, or that you could eat all the time?
I just made a bolognese, fettuccine bolognese. It's the most normal thing on the menu, and we don't have like, you know, abnormally weird or anything. But I think by some standards, it's more eclectic than a lot of the other places around. Or I mean, anyone who knows where, like my culinary history, you know, I think you definitely would see that I came from Omofuku probably in a lot of the food. But I think this, I'm really excited about this bolognese sauce I made, and I don't know why it took so long to put it on the menu, or why I chose April, but I love it. It went on the menu last night, and it's awesome. I really like it. It smells good, tastes good.
Just good.
There's tons of ground Taylor ham in it.
That's. I think you should do that with the restaurant from now on. It's just everything has Taylor ham on top.
Yeah, it's a kind of dish that I could go to a customer and say, "This is a really nice, this is a really nice bolognese," and I feel good about doing that.
What kind of person is eating at 30 Acres?
Monday through Thursday is almost entirely, I would say, mid to late 20s to early 40s local Jersey City residents. They'll come in after work. And it's not entirely, but pretty much locals, people we see multiple times a week, every week for sure. people we become friends with now. A lot of the local, you know, there's a lot of local businesses. Taqueria, who is, I think, opening up. Barcade, Marco and Pepe. Lucky Seven, Satis Bistro. It's just the restaurant people. And then all the other, the Cannibal Home. Like, all these little places that we become friends with are, you know, they're all supportive like crazy of us. And, you know, we try to reciprocate too. But we have a lot of like the small Jersey City business community is totally supportive, as are the just the residents. But it's almost entirely a local thing during the week.
You have people coming far and wide too. I mean, you just, by the way, congratulations, received a James Beard nomination for Best New Restaurant.
Yes, that was a crazy thing to have received, I think, but that's cool.
Pretty cool. I mean, extremely. People all over the country talk about you and what you're doing here. And, you know, what do you think you guys are really good at here?
I think that we're... what do you mean?
Well, you like, know.
Food-wise?
You know, yeah.
I think we're really good at, like getting ourselves out of shit. But, like, that's... I don't know if that's a real good... food quality.
Staying out of the weeds.
It's just not staying out, just getting out. I don't know. I think that we do. I really enjoy. I think I enjoy making pasta more than I enjoy eating pasta, sort of. But I'm happy to be doing all that kind of stuff. It's like, you know, old artisan crap that's like fun to do. I enjoy making dough. I enjoy making that kind of stuff. I think I really like that. I really like all the raw stuff we do. I feel like a lot of people, like, you know, my family included, like, one knows raw fish, or it's known raw fish until I started doing it as, you know, sushi or whatever. So I feel like that's a standout, I think, for our menu here. And whatever, you can get pastas at everywhere, but I do really enjoy them. Making it's fun.
Spring is here.
Yeah.
So what should people be cooking with?
They should be cooking with Taylor ham and frying pans. Right now, you know, there's ramps are out. Spring onions are coming out. Asparagus and peas and all this spring stuff and. It's nice. It's finally nice to see some green. I feel like that's every spring. I feel like March is the worst month of the year because it's just so long. It feels like it's like 64 days long, and it's like it just seems like endless at the end of the winter, an entire month that seems like hopeful but isn't in terms of produce. But it's just nice to see all the green stuff coming back. You know, we're using, you know, we'll use all the stuff that we can just because it's so refreshing to have something other than, you know, the heavier root vegetable based stuff. And I'm not cooking or pickling ramps this year. I'm going to say that right now. I'm not doing it. I just can't do it anymore. I like ramps as much as the next guy, but I'm making sauerkraut with all the ramps I get. And that's it. That's the only ramp stuff we're doing here. Just making sour rompen or whatever. I don't know how to say German.
Well, so it's fine. Yeah, like the weather's finally nice outside. You guys currently don't have a liquor license, but it's in the works.
Yes.
And at some point, you know, I imagine you'll have cocktails on the menu.
At some point, we're gonna start. Like one of the things we learned, you know, when we opened is, it's way better to start small and build. I mean, that's like sounds like that's not like I came up with that, but it is way better, especially for us. We have a small restaurant. Despite how it looks in the dining room, there's not a lot of space for storage and all that. So there's a lot of, you know, we have to be really, I think, smart with how we approach the liquor license. When, you know, we'll probably start with beer and wine only. Get comfortable doing that. Get comfortable, you know, with size of our list that we want to do, and, you know, have the staff be able to manage, you know, just simply introducing all this new stuff and eventually work on cocktail. But we have no intentions of opening once we get our license with a cocktail menu. But at some point, yeah, it would be great to have
Taylor Ham Bloody Marys.
Yeah, it would be great to just cram, smash Taylor Ham over every drink. My dad wants to bartend, which I fully support. But
what if you could give any advice to, you know, a new restaurant owner or someone that's kind of, you know, going to open a spot? What kind of advice would you give them?
Have a shitload of money. Just have one whole shitload, as much as you could cram into your bank account. That's what I would say first. No one, I mean, people say that, but I mean, whatever. If you don't have a shitload, find someone with one shitload. Because everything winds up like, it's crazy how you could see your own bank account just go get smaller and smaller. And it winds up being, if, in all seriousness, I think it's like, if, don't try to do it unless you kind of really have either talked with someone or thought through the idea that you're going to wind up spending a lot of time and money, and it's, you know, it's really can be stressful if you're trying to do it all on your own. But I mean, it takes a lot of dedication. You know, I was like fortunate enough to have someone really support me while I, you know, kind of spearheaded a lot of the hands-on stuff during the build-out and all that, but it's really hard. I think it, you know, just really make sure you're committed to it, because it was one of those things where it was so stressful and, you know, physically and emotionally stressful, and I love that it's a real, I think, real community driven, and I'm not saying other places aren't, but that's, for me, it's been, no matter where I've lived, it's felt really, I mean, just really community centric. I love the shore. I love the shore. I like being this close to New York City without being in the city. And, you know, I lived in Brooklyn for a long time, which I love also, but it's just nice to be on this side of it and still have all the advantages of living in New York City or the boroughs. I don't know. I feel like really, I grew up here, so I just feel it has a home feeling that I can't really describe, you know, unless, if you have a home, you might understand. I don't know. You know what I mean, though. You go back home, and you always feel like a little, you feel safe or whatever. I don't know how corny. Sorry.
Final thoughts on Taylor Ham.
I take that back. I don't feel safe. Final thoughts on Taylor Ham. Taylor Ham is a huge part of the New Jersey economic survival, I think. I think everyone who hasn't had it should have it. It's a lot like, I think, Spam in Hawaii. You know? You just gotta do it. You gotta get in there, like, get a bite of that. I don't know. You should probably just go get some of it and eat it right now. Even though I'm so full.
Chef Kevin Boulier, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you. And it's been nice having you here in the office. I feel a lot better than I did the last time I saw you.
Well, for listeners out there, get yourself to 30 Acres in Jersey City, Jersey, ASAP. If you can't make it here because you are located in Europe or somewhere in Taiwan, try to order a Taylor Ham online.
Yeah, you can, I think.
Yeah, you definitely can.
You can. Order it online.
Order it online.
Put it on your fancy baguette or whatever. You know.
Or your cocktail.
Yeah. And have one on the rocks.
You know? Can sleep next to it in your bed. It's
have
fine.
A little tea ham on the rocks.
A little bit of that. And for more information on 30 Acres, you can visit
30acresrestaurant.com or our Tumblr page, 30acres.tumblr.com.
Or 30 Acres on Twitter.
30acresrestaurant.com will bring you to our Tumblr page. So. Yeah, or follow us on Twitter or Facebook. We're constantly posting pictures and, you know, Larry Bird videos and whatever. So, it's always fun.
As always, thank you so much to Jack Inslee, Joe Galarraga, and the rest of the crew at Roberta's and Heritage Radio Network. I'll see y'all next week.
Let's go out to eat and get some meat. Turkey and jam, macaroni and ham. Say, do you like steak? I can surely make. If you hear me now, sing it loud for me, crowd.